Good evening, and welcome to another edition of, I guess this is still Starman and the Boomer. I haven't called it that for the past couple of streams because it makes the titles a bit long, but people know what this is. People know what our show is. We skipped last week because it's very busy in the run up to Christmas. I know everyone's busy.
I
But we
guess this is
thought
still
we'd come
Starman and the
back
Boomer.
today with
I haven't
some
called it that for the past couple of
rank
streams because the
punditry.
titles a bit long, but people know what this
I'm
is.
joined
People
as
know.
always, well, as usual, he's sometimes not here, but very rarely. Co-host Trig, the
Hey.
Boomer is in the house. Yes.
Indeed.
Have you been Trig?
I've been okay. I've been okay. It's as you know, I have problems with my hands, and the weather has not been nice to that. But you know what? Take some painkillers, and we're all good.
Ah
So
yes, good old-fashioned painkillers. Everyone likes painkillers. We are also joined by our regular guest, writer, and general member of the channel, Evelyn.
Nemlo, I am here.
She is here. She is here to be Evelyn and apparently Jeems. Get the YouTube-y stuff out the way. The best way to donate is still through Streamlabs. Although we have had a super chat so far, which does illustrate nicely that we are still monetized on YouTube. We still get the occasional memberships when we're off air. A lot of you guys seem to join when we're not online. So thank you for the continued monthly support. That does help. We do occasionally get half decent AdSense payouts, so that at least provides a bit of beer money. And also, it's good audience participation. We do read the chat, but if you want to get something out of that on stream, Streamlabs and Super Chats are the best way to do that. Apart from that, have you guys got anything immediately you'd like to shill?
Only the terrible D&D that I'm doing on Mondays. I'm seeing some people are saying it's a little bit tinny on the audio. Let me see if I can
I'll
sort
be
that out.
honest, I quickly played it back to myself, and it sounds like you're on a radio tannoy.
Okay, I can sort that out. Oh, give me a second. Is that working now?
Into, I don't know, Wolverhampton will be
I'm
delayed by eight
probably a
minutes
bit
or something
tinny
like that.
because I'm on a headset mic, but it
No,
also might be your continuing audio troubles, Trig. Because it did sound
I've
like that
had
on the
some
back
issues.
end.
It should be sorted out now. I've got an audio thing called voice meter I've been using, but it should have kicked in. I don't think it had.
Yes, clean up on aisle
That's
three.
much better, apparently.
There we go. Cool.
Sorry about that, guys. We it actually changes the audio when we go live. It's partially YouTube's back end, so we are no longer on the radio. Yeah, we've sorted the audio issues, thank God. Okay, no, we can have no more audio issues on the stream, guys. We've had our quota now.
That's
We're
it.
not
We need
allowed
a boom.
anymore.
We've got to have a boomer moment
I
every single
suppose we do,
episode.
but we did have a super chat already from Namrazed, who donated $5 Canadian. And he said, "Season's greetings from Canada, where the only place I can drink without showing my papers is a pub run by the Irish mob. I mean, speakeasies do have a long tradition with the mafia.
Yes.
Also, organized crime is in many cases unabashedly based. So,
It is
yes,
also the origin of one of my favorite cocktails, the Long Island Iced Tea,
yes."
which is good old Evil Brew, that one. Right, yes.
Yeah, I tried to get one of those at my office Christmas party. It was a very anemic one. I was quite
What
disappointed.
they tend to do is make the recipe properly, and then they split it in two, so you always
I
end up
think this
with.
one was split into thirds, basically.
Oh, because
Yeah, it was like.
it's like five shots in one, and if you have a proper one, it's knock you off your feet in two or three drinks type tier. But often you end up with what we had in the Nomos event, which is they'll put the five shots and then they'll fill a 2 pint pitcher with it, with Coke and ice afterwards. Although it was quite fun drinking gigantic 2 pint pitchers of cocktails. That was a fun event. I did enjoy that.
Yeah, it's apparently we're getting some frame rate issues. Let us know if that's happening for you guys. It might just be YouTube's backends being weird. There's the whole keyframe thing that YouTube keeps talking about now, but it doesn't really apply because not really playing video. But hopefully we should not be dropping frames. It should generally be fine, but it's YouTube continually makes their service worse, and that seems to be the tradition right now. But that's not what we're not here to talk about tech issues or Long Island ICTs, really. We're here to talk about just the continuing fire hose of Koof news. Because even though everyone's constantly covering it, we try not to get too distracted by it to the point we've not talked about it for quite a long time now. But it does need to be addressed because there are a few deeper truths and a few things coming down the pipeline that I think people need to be wary of. This is going to be a recap of, you know, one, stuff you may have missed, because holy shit, there's so much of it. And two, we are going to be extrapolating into the future. We are going to be doing some of our crystal ball gazing. Not really, because it's so obvious what's going to happen. But it should be a good mix of analysis and very basic rank punditry.
Well, I don't know, maybe where we want to start per se. I mean, I think the passports is such a crucial part to the whole thing on a number of layers. And it is one of those things that has arrived again that gives you the chance to read the sort of patterns that we have discussed previously, and even in stuff not to do with the democratization series. I mean, the obvious one that comes up to everyone's mind is the whole Patriot Act nonsense of, you know, you are being rid and made free of the terrorists only if you give us all your data and your privacy. Now it's, you know, you will be rid of the virus only if you let us know where you are at all times, because we're making you free.
No, I mean, you've heard the thing that they're doing in, they're even doing it in England now with the passport vaccine is, you know, they'll send you, you need to read out four or five numbers that they send through to you and various other things. You need to hold every, you know, name, address, everything, and a picture of you. And
well, we should start at the beginning where Mr. Savage Javid said back in September that vaccine passport plans have been ditched. And before that, there was a huge amount of stuff, both on social media and in official communications from the government, saying that vaccine passport was something they would never do. There was actually very strong language about that, I think, back in January. There's quite a famous Twitter post. I think it was by one of the, I don't know, of the entire Conservative Party is now made up by Brahmin Indians. But it seems that it is. I think it was January that was announced. I'm frantically trying to find the thing here because I thought I had it, but I don't.
The crazy thing is, wind it back a year and the vaccine passports was literally, oh, you must be a conspiracy theorist to think that people would do such a thing. This is nonsense. And it really is almost at least no more than a 6 month turnover between conspiracy theory to reality at this point.
Well, it's them flexing their power. You know, they hold the sort of highest authority in the land and therefore do as they please. And we will have these forced on them whether we like it or not.
It happened. It was like, local assemblies, the devolved assemblies in both Scotland and Wales had a version of them. It was very confusing. You had to prove certain things, get into certain venues. It wasn't very consistent. But they had a version of what would become the vaccine passport. But it wasn't. It was a very mismatched system. It was very confusing. I think the UK moving into alignment with it, there being an official kind of Westminster vaccine passport that these places will probably start to adopt and standardize on, is a very important step. Whatever happened, they were going to make, this was going to happen by hook or by crook. They had decided it would happen, and they were looking for a very convenient, you know, whatever excuse they could come up with. I think they were hoping that things would be worse than they actually are. That's why this had to essentially be pulled out of a hat at the 11th hour, and everything had to happen
Omicron.
At once. But it was very, the proximity to Christmas, I think a lot of people, including me, you know, I'd claim to be some kind of Nostradamus if, like, 1,500 other people hadn't put out the exact same timetable I had, because it was so obvious and so scripted.
Christmas is basically getting held hostage
again, yes,
from the public, and it's It's just evil. there's no other word for it. They know exactly what they're doing. And the whole attempt to create this fake media circus, and it's still going on about this Tory party and all these other parties and these flats and who was there and what were they doing and, oh, they were all drunk and they weren't being orderly and this, that and the next thing. It's all just big facades that you don't notice the wool being pulled over your eyes when it turns out that every single thing they told you they weren't going to do, they are going to do, and they're going to make it even worse than what they first suggested.
Well, the debate has become around whether or not it was acceptable for them to break the COVID rules. It's actually a way of folding you back in and saying, they shouldn't do that, I'm not allowed to do that. It's to distract people from actually talking about, you know, the laws themselves, the restrictions themselves. Yes. It becomes haggling. It's basically haggling over people not having the boot on their face right. That's what it becomes. It becomes a way to fold you back into this and say, we're all in this together, guys. At some point, I think begrudgingly, there are going to end up being vaccine passports for Parliament, because they're going to use that to say, well, we're doing our bit now, guys. You know, we're all in this together. We're going to have our vax passports too.
Well, I think, as you said, there is an implicit, very important point there, which is if you are a member of Parliament who is not vaccinated, if that was the case, you're de facto now no longer allowed to appear and vote in Parliament?
They don't have it yet, but I think that that's one of the things coming down the pipeline.
But it's just that there's an interesting sort of distinction that happens there once you do that, and it's one of those things that if it was arranged the other way, where if even the slight possibility of the implementation of one policy or another kicked people who met some leftist standard at Parliament de facto, it would be an uproar. You can't do this, you can't do that, it's the Reichstag, it's this, it's that, it's the next thing.
It's about framing the quote-unquote national debate. You've noticed this too, Drake. I've seen you posting it.
I've posted it. The thing is with vaccine passports for MPs, it's presupposing that those MPs will actually have had the vaccine. If an MP is resistant to having the vaccine, well, that's a concern. If there's a lot of them that are, then why? And it would probably largely fall into the fears that a lot of us have had, that, you know, what's in this? It's untested. Why are people having? I mean, literally, a friend of mine who is a martial artist for most of his life and in peak physical condition took the vaccine and promptly, very nearly, had a heart attack, and he's now still suffering from heart palpitations almost a month afterwards. There are many cases like this. You know, I know a lot of people, including someone that may have died from it, that have had the vaccine and then had very, very poor effects. There's going to be MPs that are going to have those concerns. They may well, probably do, no more than us. Certainly the the more elite MPs, shall we say, definitely will know more about this than us.
Well,
and who's to say that their passport isn't just, there you go, have a rubber stamp, your passport is done. Off you go into Parliament. It doesn't matter. It makes no difference.
Well, it's the symbology of it.
But yes.
It's the, you cannot be, you know, you cannot performatively disobey these rules and be an MP. You can't publicly
be a
dissident.
You'll see adverts in the way that, I mean, me and Jess were talking about this earlier on, actually. One aspect of it that's not really been discussed is the wide-scale network of, like, Zoomer, Instagram and TikTok influencers that have been paid massive sums of money to essentially market all these things. And you'll get to the point probably in a couple of months down the road where it's like Boris Johnson and who's the footballer, Marcus Rashford and all these people, and it's like, I'm just like everyone. I take my vax passport out to go to the shops. You know, that kind of nonsense. Yeah.
There's been a bunch of stuff as well about children's books in the US.
Mm.
That there's these new children's books that have people masked in them. And it's like incredibly weird and creepy.
Well, one of the things I'd saw in a thread about that was someone actually suggesting that, and it was like a very, I think it was a sort of kindergarten class, like 3-4 pre sort of school kind of thing, where they were taking out books and reading them, and there was, the children were asking why people in these books in the big cities weren't wearing masks. And it's just, it's so horrifying to consider the fact that they're just, that's their norm now. We're already at that point, 18 months down the line, where there are young children who presume that the wearing of a mask is the standard thing to be doing.
Which, yeah, that's the real end point, is like the cultural, despite the unpopularity, the cultural normalization of it. And like I said, the debate, I honestly am starting to think they leaked that whole Christmas party thing on purpose.
Yeah, that's what was insinuated earlier on. It's a complete cover up. I mean, we know the parliamentary class and the media class are in cahoots with one another, and that at times they even use one another as sort of foe enemies to create further division when it's necessary to force through legislation that's not agreeable.
Here's the pivot, and I explained it to people in detail, and they were like, a few people were a bit wowed by it because I hadn't thought about it, but like, it's being framed as the hypocritical breaking of necessary restrictions. When really what it should be being framed as is a smoking gun that the elite class know that it's a big nothing and have no fear of it.
Yeah.
But in the way it's being used, it's a reinforcement of obedience. The narrative of it is it presupposes the necessity of the restrictions last year. It turns elite hypocrisy into COVID into a partisan issue about the Tory party. And it frames obeying the COVID rules as righteous and breaking them as deviant. It also is a further reinforcement of the Tory sleaze narrative, and will be used as a crowbar to leverage something about obedience to these rules in the new parliamentary code of conduct, which is probably something which is stream about on its own at some point.
Yes.
Because there's also this whole like anti-racism and diversity stuff. Yes, it's a debate about obeying the rules, bypasses the argument about the validity of the rules. The code of conduct will probably include something about COVID in there, and it will definitely include something about cultural norms in there. And that's really what this is about. A lot of people just seem confused by it, and I think once you see it in that light,
they didn't freak out about Obama's party, though, did they? I mean, and some of the New York parties we've seen, where all of the workers are there in masks, and all of the local elite from New York and Hollywood are wandering around without masks. No one said jack all about that, apart from maybe a quick commentator on Fox News. I mean, maybe Tucker said something about it, but that's about it. Nobody dare talk to that political establishment about breaking the rules.
We've had another donation here, $5 from Mr. James Merry, one of the regular views of the stream, and also one of our longtime members. I think he's been a member for so long he's got the sad cat next to his name now, the one in the Cookie Monster outfit. But he said, considering that we are a Suzetri, I know what you mean, of the USA, basically airstrip one, how much pushback can really be done from the cultural fringes? I live in the northern backwater, so nothing is happening here. But what about Whitehall and the city? Can't see how we pressure in time. Well, what I keep telling people is to do it, you have to do it within your own community first. And if you can, like, actually being on the periphery can be an opportunity, because it allows you to organize with people who aren't completely subsumed within the system, and at least have some resilience to what's coming next. If you can become these outposts where basically the pandemic and the lockdowns do not exist, you can become these resistant places. That is very powerful and is very useful, but that unfortunately is really all that can be done on a local level right now. There is no national fight back, as we saw with the vote. The votes had a sizable Tory rebellion, although not as big as the Brexit vote, and it was put through with a almost two-thirds majority, because every single SNP, Labour, and I think even most are Liberal Democrats.
You'd be surprised how many Labour MPs didn't vote for it. Jeremy Corbyn didn't.
I think it was 5.
I just like the idea that these like still old school tankies cutting about. They're like, nah, absolutely not.
The number that was knocking around was around 5. Which is very, very low.
But that's ultimately the sort of, I don't know, you can see the just the complete lack of transparency in it all, and how much they are playing up to a role that is part of another story as opposed to the one that they really should be playing up, as, for example, Labour. I mean, the framework supposed, even just by the basic vax passport, not some of the other ID stuff we might start discussing later on, that seems to me like, you know, that's direct attack on probably people without ID, so immigrants, BAME people, working class people, you know, people with mental illnesses or whatever else. Yet you hear nothing about it.
No, you hear the occasional grumble in the community sections of The Guardian, and that's really about it. It was single figures from Labour. You are right there, Black Dobbin.
Speaking of national pushbacks, though, we have seen sort of, you know, Australians, Austrians, Germans, various people kicking off about it in protests. But you see literally a tweet by somebody who was there, look at what's happening over here, but nothing from the news. Like, I didn't really... You heard about what happened in Brazil recently, right?
I did, yes.
I mean, that was hilarious, and not that I would ever want to encourage anything like that be done, but Brazilian hackers, or hackers, I don't know where they were from, hacking the Ministry of Health database and literally deleting all the COVID records.
That is a complete and utter psyop. I mean, I don't know what stuff we want to focus on. I think such a large part of the reliance on digital infrastructure, like the vaccine passport and like all the big records, is part of the whole elaboration where the further part of Rockefeller Lockstep exercises and Event 201 exercises, we're dealing with the instability of these big database networks full of all this public health data, and all the solutions for it were essentially to state crypto the whole thing. And it's when you start to look at it from that bigger picture that it all starts to come back together as one. It's not just that these, you know, stupid sporadic measures that don't seem to have vaguely something to do with a virus. Mm-hmm. You know, everything starts to come together, the puzzle pieces start to fit a little bit more.
Yeah, they were talking about it as early as like 2015 about blockchain technology in quotes. Mm-hmm. And it was kind of fashionable even then in certain circles. But it is something that they want to have, this public quote unquote ledger that is difficult to falsify. And they will make you use your own computing power to maintain it. I've explained this to a few people, and the people who've understood it properly have been like genuinely horrified because they understand what I'm talking about. They realize that actually crypto infrastructure is like a perfect tool of oppression when it's coupled with digital identity stuff.
Yeah. Well, I think it's something we've sort of discussed time and time again, but I think it's worth going over, is the digital ID and attributes framework from the British government. Because that's been kicking around since right around the start of COVID, early to mid 2020. And in there is all the details. You know, you will have all these different attributes about public health, about how often you travel, about what you earn, what you pay in tax, you know, how much you transfer out of this bank account into the other, what you spend in cash, so on and so forth. All of these things will be tracked as separate bits of information that will all exist inside some form of big crypto kind of thing that you will never get access to. And you will essentially become some sort of like digital chattel.
Trey, have you... Where is it? Attribute holders...
It's the reason why they are attempting to collect so much of this information, though. It's kind of a test program before they launch it for the reasons they really want these things.
Here you go. I'll put it in the stream resources. If you want to get this on stream trick quickly, because the language being used here is very important.
Mm.
They refer to them very cryptically as attributes,
which just screams social credit score to me. I mean, that's your number of carbon credits. That's the number of vaccines you've got. That's the number of large venues you've been in this week. That limits the amount you're in next week or some horrendous
thing
like that.
Not even just that. What it does is, it brings all the data from Facebook, from Twitter, from YouTube, from all these different places into the public realm.
Yes.
it turns them into publicly verified and recognized as pieces of information with a trust score. So it's kind of even worse than some of the more central Chinese social credit store stuff, because what it does, it gives Facebook and Google a role in your social credit score.
Well, I think you'll find that it's pretty much the same in China with WeChat. I mean, like, people look at WeChat and they're like, oh, it's an item of propaganda by the Chinese government. It's been fully developed by them and it tracks people and steals all the data. And that's literally what Facebook and Twitter do, and that's literally what they were designed for. And yet we think that for some reason these two things are different.
No, they are, but if anything, it's going to be more effective. It's been prototyped in China, but the version we'll be getting is like the evolved version. It's like this is how things get even, and it'll be a lot more insidious, because it'll be the old private, you know, we're just regulating these existing attributes, guys. You know, we're not actually creating a digital a trust score. You know, we're just moderating what these other third parties are doing. Again, it'll be pushed off onto the fake market stuff. Like so much else, it's like the vaccines have been, like all of this stuff has been, and it's like, well, these are private companies.
Well, you know what they're doing now is they're literally, I ran into this not so long ago, they are actually forcing people who are signing on, people who are jobless, they are forcing them to create LinkedIn accounts, and if they have LinkedIn accounts, to update them and basically show that information at their sign-on date, if you like. And there you have it again. It's not just Facebook. They are literally forcing the lowest tier of society.
I've had weird interactions with people who've done that. This isn't the first I've had this, heard about this. I've had experience with this personally, where I got told that I had to have a LinkedIn account. Like, I've been told that previously. It's not just homeless people. It's everybody. If you are interacting with certain job agents and certain aspects of the benefit system, they will get very weird with you if you tell them you don't have a LinkedIn account. I don't have a LinkedIn account mostly for privacy concerns. I don't like it, but I also get badgered by recruitment agencies because I'm in quite an in-demand area of industry. So I still get constant phone calls because my CV has been online, you know, not even only relatively recently. If I was on LinkedIn, I would never get any peace. That's one of the main reasons I'm not on there, because I know people who are in my field and they've had to, you know, either private their pages or they've had to remove them. But yeah, LinkedIn is like a doxing engine. Whenever I've like looked into people, whenever I've ever looked into certain public figures or people within NGOs, the best source of interlinking information has been LinkedIn.
Is LinkedIn a Google service?
I don't know who owns LinkedIn.
No, it's got to be them or Facebook, surely.
Oh, Microsoft.
Ah, so the other one.
Yes. LinkedIn has integrations with Office 365 as well. And Office 365 keeps bothering me to link it.
I wouldn't be surprised if you've got a Microsoft account on, or like a Microsoft Pro account, that it probably just makes a background LinkedIn account for you anyway.
It might do. I know that Google has done that. I know they tried that with Google Plus, which failed. But if you look at the example, though, it's like an online lottery ticket seller needs to know that a customer, Jack, is old enough to buy a ticket. Sounds like a digital ID to me. The minimum age limit for the lottery is 18. Jack's date of birth is the attribute. The attribute provider can send the seller a yes or no response. It's basically what they did was, I know everyone laughed at the whole like have to prove you're 18 to watch porn thing, but like they use that as a springboard for this, and they're like, see, we did make a system that can verify it, and that's going to be the first way they've justified it, is it? Oh, this protects children on the internet, is how they've been selling the original version of this. You're right. What you'll do is you'll have all those footballers, all those Instagram people, all those TikTok people going, you already used your vaccine passport to get into all these different
places.
Now you can put all your forms of ID in this one convenient app. which you, by the way, are now legally forced to have.
Well, there is another aspect to it as well, which is it's very attempting to do the whole two-factor authentication thing, which I think to anyone that's paid attention over the last couple of years, if you have two items of information to get into a source thing, it's a lot easier to get in than there just being one bit of information, because it's likely that one bit of information works for a lot of other things.
Yeah.
So if you know the person, you can access all their data and see all the things they've been to if you know that other bit of information they've used to bind to the attribute.
What's implied with these attributes is they're basically going to be, they're going to turn you into an NFT. And there's going to be a third-party record that is very difficult to falsify of all the information that is quote-unquote known about you. And you will not be able to erase that, and that will be accessible by a large amount of different people. And it will be maintained by the blockchain trust and all that. And it will be, trusted and verified. And it will mean that certain people are just completely fucked because they have this permanent, semi-publicly available government-moderated online identity that is a database that will function as a database of undesirables.
Mm.
We've had a couple more donations though, so
yes,
thank you guys. We've had Kizza GT donate the $5 and said, "Evening Scrum, Trigger and Evelyn, hope you're doing well. When are we going to do that?" Oh yeah. He wants to talk more about Robot Wars. Take care and never surrender to the cook served party. I've not had much time to do like non-political content, but I would love to do something just a lot more general at some point when I have the time. I've been wanting to do like a little stream about like Robot Wars and that little history of robot combat for ages, so I'm still hoping to do that at some point, but I've just been far too busy. Dusty Time donated $5 and said, "Great show, lads, thank you very much." Thank you, Dusty. But yeah, at some point there will be some more non-political content on this channel, but it's so difficult to find the time to do the regular streams because we didn't even have a stream last week. I'm so busy.
I will try and do more stuff, but I might need to wait until it gets round to the new year and I can have more ideas to go off of.
Yeah, it's just so hectic right now, guys. We're trying our best, okay? There are, I think, a couple more things before we go too far down the digital ID rabbit hole, because that'd be a good wrap-up that I wanted to go over, because there's some very interesting and slightly terrifying pivots in the rhetoric here. The first thing I wanted to cover is a bit more of the background news, which is there should be the two first things under where it says COOF in the stream resources. Trigger, you're going to get those up. But the first one is the South African study of the Omicron variant, basically saying it's a nothing burger. Because those of you who remember last week, even though it feels like 1,000 years ago in news cycle time, remember that this apparently came out of South Africa, even though apparently now it didn't. But the data here is showing that it is far less likely to result in hospitalizations than even the official numbers. I don't trust any of the government numbers really, but the official quote unquote numbers in the Omicron variant is that it is not a disease that is more severe than a cold. In the vast majority of cases, and that South Africa has seen what they are saying is the peak of its wave, and they have seen hospitalizations barely move. In fact, the deaths they recorded were, what does it say here? Yeah, they recorded 640 after a positive test for the Omicron variant, and 15,000 from the Delta variant. So that is the difference.
They can tell the difference between these things when you take a test.
I know it's ridiculous, but still, even by their own metrics, even by their own propaganda numbers, this doesn't make any sense. Even by the official statistics, they're falling by their own metrics. And the other one was it was Dominic Raab said on TV that there were currently 250 people in hospital with the neo-coof, and it turns out that in a country of 70 million people, there's only 10.
Yeah.
Which is a ridiculously small number.
It is a tiny number. What's interesting is that I'm trying to find the source from it, but unfortunately it looks like, for the time being, it might have disappeared, that there was a doctor from South Africa again suggesting that it might even be basically a free vaccine. The Omicron is basically, it builds up your resistance to COVID and is basically less dangerous than the actual vaccine, considering the figures we've seen on that, some of the occurrences.
This is what a lot of people said was the most likely scenario, that this viruses, especially cold and flu viruses, over time tend to become more mild, because that is the easiest vector to become, to reproduce more. If you make people less sick, you're more likely to infect other people because they still go about doing normal things.
Well, I was going to say that,
which is this exactly what this has followed. Yeah.
Yeah, the response they always gave when people were like, oh, well, there's not that many people got it. It's so much more transmissible, like the second round of a common cold.
Mm. Yes. Well, it is. It's, you know, that a lot of those are coronaviruses. Dominic Raab is just on TV lying to people. By factors of 25.
A politician lying to us? Say it isn't so.
It's very rare you get such immediate and raw proof, though.
I don't know. If you get to look for it, you usually find it fairly rapidly, but...
Yes. Oh, I know. But, they had that issue with... It's amazing that these numbers are... Like, they are just not pretending it's not a pretext. And I think a lot of even the normies are starting to notice. I've been overhearing conversations about this. But it's the idea of, well, what are these people going to do about it?
Well, thing is, we know what this is about, though. As we've discussed earlier on, this is not... These deliberate mistakes are not about getting people to question the COVID narrative. It's getting people to question the legitimacy of the government and their strategy so that fucking Tony Blair can swoop in or whoever else.
Well, yeah, that's the end point of the narrative I was talking about earlier. What's going to happen is they're going to tie up all the negative feeling towards the lockdowns around Boris and his inner circle and the lockdown Tories. And what's going to happen is that once they are, you know, once they finally get out of power, which is going to take a little while, but once they finally leave power, they're going to say the next government has a mandate now. This is the ethical, legitimate lockdown of the people. We got rid of the bad Tories. We didn't have a Christmas party. Therefore, we have the right to lock you down even harder. We have the moral high ground.
Like vaccine Stalinists.
Basically, yes. And that's a lot of people. Just, oh, we just need to get... I even hear people saying it. Like, yeah, that is the normies' solution is, oh, we just need to get Boris out. Anyone would be better than Boris. And it's just like, no, this is exactly what you're supposed to be thinking. Well, like I said, the issue is that all the negative feeling will be wrapped around, you know, that is the trick. It's a worked example in the cycling of the elites. The negative feeling will cycle out with this elites, and the new elites will come in, and, you know, they will essentially start from what the public would consider a semi-neutral position.
Yep.
And then they will build up animosity, they will cycle out again, and it just continues ad infinitum. And that's why having a king is better than having a prime minister. this is the end.
Queen Elizabeth dictator would have been replaced.
Now it's Queen Elizabeth the constantly cancelling public appearances and being Febrezed.
Yeah.
That nigga dead.
She dead as hell.
You heard it here first, folks. They're saving that one, though. Like, they're saving the announcement of the death of the Queen for something really big. And I'm concerned about what that's going to be.
Yes, there is going to be something where we basically get, like, now that the Queen's dead, should the monarchy die with her? Kind of nonsense.
Almost certainly. They will,
I'll be honest, I don't care anymore. See, any single person that gets out there on Twitter or YouTube or whatever else and is like, no, these lefties can't attack the monarchy. It's a cornerstone of Britain, despite everything it stood for since about World War I.
Being decimated, yeah.
Boils my fucking piss.
I'm just reminded of Caleb now, because when he heard that, he couldn't stop laughing. He's like, SMH, Britain's such a terrible place, they have to boil their piss.
Boil your own piss, Beaner.
She thought it was really funny. I'm afraid we don't have any power anymore. The energy unit price has gone up so high we can't even boil the piss anymore.
The thing is, I don't know, I've like made the tweet a number of times, but I just keep reiterating it. Like, it doesn't matter whether the vax passports go in or come out, or what aspects of life they limit you to, because it's all a precursor to essentially climate passports.
Yes, it's a trial run. Like you pointed that out. You saw the signs for the Greater Manchester, basically eco zone, in which diesel commercial vehicles will be heavily taxed or banned, which basically makes haulage in the northwest of England borderline impossible. It's going to choke the life
good
out
luck
of that
getting,
area.
Getting a pallet of bricks to a work site. You're going to do that in the back of a milk float or something.
Yes.
Didn't a lot of the local businesses kick off about that and go, look, you can't do this? And they went, oh, well, commercial vehicles aren't going to count.
Oh, no, commercial vehicles are the only vehicles that do count.
Yeah, I was going to say that's the main thing they are against.
Oh, no, it was London. It was London they tried to ban. They're trying to ban diesel cars, but have said, yeah, okay.
No, they're still going to. They're just going to offer you a bit of a bribe in return.
Yeah.
They're going to offer you... It's like when they're going to force people to like rip the boilers out of the houses and get heat pumps that don't work. Good luck heating a apartment block that only exists in its own footprint with a heat pump. where are you going to draw all that magical ground energy from?
I looked into it. Some of them are talking about in London, they're talking about plugging it directly into the essentially the tube system and using the tube network as the grounding. Which
mildly
interesting. That might have some interesting effects.
That means is that everyone freezes at once, comrade.
Yes. I love bringing that one up about like sitting on the back of the bus with the windows open because you've got to have ventilation for COVID. You're all sitting there chittering your teeth. It's like being on the way to your Siberian salt mines or something.
Yeah. Because
it's the same. They keep mentioning it as they want to do ventilation in schools over winter and stuff like that because of COVID. They've got all these wains and a room with all the windows up. They're sitting there with their jackets on. They must be frozen. It's literally like...
I don't know. That stuff like genuinely upsets me. And I'll get up a thing that I found earlier. That it says like a lot of this stuff is to like demoralize you, and a lot of it is like semi psyop. But there is some of it that's just like what the hell's going on here? I think you'll like this one because it also mentions Ted Kaczynski, weirdly enough.
I think I saw that actually.
It's a children's magazine where everyone's masked, which is I don't know, the person's just like trying to mock them, saying, I demand normal conditions for my children, I shout as I type a Unabomber letter to highlight the magazine. It's just like, no, you don't understand how based you're making this person sound.
Yeah, that's a proper will to action there. The Karens are going to go full...
The Karens are going to go full Ted. And the reply to that is, my friend's kindergartner... Here, this is the post. This is the post. My friend's kindergartner draws masks on kids in catalogues because they look weird without them. Like... Look at this. It's very Alex Jones, they're demons.
No, I think there was someone in the chat earlier on saying Alex Jones' endgame predicted all of this. Yes, spot on, 100%. That man sat outside a Bilderberg meeting somewhere in like Toronto for 50 minutes screaming at a camera about like digital tracking and food shortages and vaccines. And I mean, there was a great one. I don't know if it was a controversy we want to delve ourselves into, but as a side issue, I think what's her face? Is it a Philosophy Cat who does lots of stuff to do with Evola and lots of other interesting sort of things, was talking to Woz during the whole millennial thing. And she'd got on to make some sort of point, essentially suggesting, like, the white race thing, demographics, doesn't matter anymore, because about 90% of white people have just, like, made themselves infertile with a vax anyway. So it's done. I was like, oof, I hadn't considered that before. And I think she, like, later in a tweet clarified that essentially people who have taken the vaccine aren't white.
I don't know. That's an interesting aside. I like to steer clear of Senor Godrod.
Because
that's
this vaccine making you infertile. It reminds me. I hate to be, you know, put my nerd hat on. And I just noticed because I sent another super chat. Thank you, dude. There was an SG1.
I'll read that in a second.
There was an SG1 episode. Stargate SG1. Where they meet an alien species, and oh, we're coming here to help, etc., etc. Oh, we've cured all your diseases, and then within 10 years, the birth rate of the planet drops down to about 5%, and the alien species just takes over the planet. It is literally they called it in the '90s.
Oh, Jesus!
I have to dig up that episode. It's a good couple of episodes. I think it's a two-parter, if I remember rightly.
There's lots of stuff like that. I know we've mentioned that a million times, but I'm an essential worker of Schindler's List cracks me up every time.
I am an essential worker.
Proceeds to snip fucking
it's hair. It's so good. I put that in my Technocrats article. It's a great illustration of sovereign powers declaring who is and isn't an essential worker. It is pure Soviet is what it is. It is pure essence of like Politburo of like collective farms and saying what is and isn't essential work for the people, comrade.
I'm kind of sick of people calling it communism though. It's not really. I mean, as it's closest to like a Pol Pot formulation, but I'll only allow people to say that if they're willing to demonstrate to me that they understand the insanity of what that man was trying to do. Because if you understand what he was trying to do, then you grasp what's really, you know, coming down the road.
Oh yeah, it's the idea that everyone who's not an essential worker needs to be mulched and on farms, and not as workers as fertilizer.
Don't make me go all Georgia Guidestones again. I was reading something about the Rockefeller Organization, the same freaking number, 500 million that, world population.
That leads us very, very neatly into one of the other things that I've been looking at all this week, which is the level of rhetoric against, in quotes, the unvaccinated as a class of people. Mm-hmm. I'll repost it in the stream resource again because there's so much stuff in there. But like, this is the first of, I think, about five of my posts I'm going to link. We don't really have time to go through all the articles because I know I don't want to get angry at headline and move on to the next headline, but just look at the level of rhetoric here if you get these up, Trig. The first one there is from The Sun. By some, I think she's some woman who won The Apprentice or something. That the headline is "Make the Unjowed Face Their Own Lockdown So We Can Have Our Lives Back." And she says, "We can't force people to have the jab, but we can force the vaccine refuseniks," and they use that exact word, which, if you don't know, the definition of refusenik is a Soviet who is disobedient to the Soviet system but will not be allowed to go and move to Israel. It's literally a word used to demonize Soviet dissident Jews, which is a bizarre choice unless you realize what they're actually trying to do here. Your vaccine refuseniks to live in a far more difficult, inconvenient, and restricted life, one that will also be more expensive because of mandatory testing. The next headline here is from The Independent. Hardcore vaccine refusers could need de-radicalizing like terrorists, says experts.
That's an amazing one. Schmidt would be creaming himself. But that's... You've just turned being conscious about your own health into violence. I mean, we're not even at the point of like, oh, your speech is violence. You physically wanting to be healthy, that is now violence.
Yes. Yes. The line is, there is a small minority of anti-vaxxers who are very difficult to reach, according to one expert. Again, it's the experts, the technocrats. It's not us saying this, guys. It's the scientists. There's one here from Australia. Austria saying how vaccine refusenik single-handedly forced Austria to lock down. they made them do it.
I think if we get onto the Andrew Neil one, which is the next one, I believe.
Yeah.
I remember having a poke through that when it first came out, and I think I even screen capped bits from it. But there was like.
Should I get the actual article up then, quickly?
Nah, I don't think it is. It's not. It was more something you could read into the way he had written it, where he's talking about, you know, we've made all this effort. We've took all these jabs. We've complied with the track and trace. We've worked from home, as if to say, like, we haven't sacrificed all this for nothing. So you're coming along with us, even if it's all a crock of shit.
Yes,
and it's the biggest sunk cost fallacy going.
It's about the same, yeah. It's they've suffered and it's not worked. So the people who haven't suffered as much must be to blame for it.
This article is so fucking horrendously fucking bourgeois, goddamn middle class. Oh, I was in south of France having a meal with my friends, and we were doing this, and everyone was just QRing their way into the restaurant and all thing. I wish I could go to the south of France and have meals. Most of us are locked in our houses and can't travel.
Let's not forget as well, some certain things might have been suggested about Andrew Neil in the last couple of weeks. Maybe about being on some certain aeroplanes with some certain people.
Oh, was he on the... Of course he was, wasn't he? Yes.
Yes, he was on the second set of flight logs that got released recently, which is hilarious, because it's another one of those things that begins to bring it all back together, because then you realise, like, well, Andrew Neil must have been hanging out with Epstein and all his mates, and all his mates are all the people behind the Gates Foundation and Pfizer and all these different organisations, and they all know people at the NIH, and... Oh, that's funny. They all worked with Boutros, who was the Ethiopian dude that was doing stuff for the WHO? I forgot his name now.
Oh, the Chinese plant that they got in charge of the WHO.
Yeah, the guy that starved millions in Ethiopia as part of a genocide.
Well, this got like quite popular, so I put underneath it, and I don't know if people knew when they were retweeting it who Carl Schmitt was, but I put underneath it some Schmitt. Just so people could see it. It's being framed as like the final war against the disease carriers to save mankind.
Yes.
Like this is the war of the pacifists. This is the medical war against war. This is the, you know, the vaccination against disease. It is the final struggle, the existential struggle to make us free from the biological like warfare of the coup politique.
It's the amount of stuff that is behind all this and the amount that is motivating to it. You have to be aware of so much of that to really put it all together, because it is these same clashing of people. It is all the folk on those flight logs that are behind just as much of the sort of seedy stuff that you see, that are also behind the creation of vaccines and, you know, government.
Why are you zooming in so far, Trig?
My mouse has a freewheeling mouse wheel and it just sort of ran away with itself for a second. Like, sorry.
Runaway mouse.
Yeah.
Runaway mouse, no.
Beep, 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 beep.
Oh, dear. There's so many examples of this. I think a couple of these will be repeats, but there's like a whole other thread I made here, just trying to catalogue it all. Because there was a... Here in the UK, they're using the term refuseniks. I don't. It's amazing they've settled on that. It's incredibly mask off, but that's just kind of what they're doing. In America, the phrase they're using is "disease of the unvaccinated." They are referring to COVID as a disease of the unvaccinated, and they are doing that.
That's very Nazi Germany on.
Oh, wait, is this the one that's got the article by Chuck and Blow?
I don't
I'm
know.
I'm furious at the unvaccinated New York Times opinion by Chuck Blow.
Yeah. Yeah, he's now he's now Sneed and Blow. He's now Sneed and Feed. Yeah, he's Chuck Blow.
He's a porn star or something, surely.
He's a journalist, so he's not a real person.
I suppose.
I love there's like the Fleet Street Fox one as well, which is that the unvaccinated are ruining the economy, which is hilarious. it reminds me, you know, is that picture, I actually posted it on a community post on this YouTube channel. It's the meteor coming down and the dinosaur going, oh shit, the economy.
Yeah.
It's so funny. But yeah, the disease of the unvaccinated. The people that are choosing not to get vaccinated are the ones that are clogging up the healthcare system. I'm furious at the unvaccinated. There's a whole lot of other rhetoric in the article, but there's not really any room for it there.
It's just...
Sorry, go on.
I would say it's blatant lies, though, that it's unvaccinated people filling up the hospitals. This is just not true.
No, it is not true. Neil McRae, it is the COVID crazies who are perpetuating the pandemic, not the health experts. Again, it's another blaming of the people who don't have a vaccine for the pandemic. This is just a whole headline. It's the anti-vaxxers, anti-maskers, and COVID deniers are some of the worst among us. They are gratuitous in their wickedness and stupidity. But this grotesque band all share a few central traits. They're extending the pandemic and destroying the NHS. They're killing people, putting all of our lives at risk. They're limiting our freedoms and liberty and ruining the economy. That is something that was in, I think, the Daily Mirror.
Well, yeah, the long and the short of it is, if you're not taking the jab, get in the oven.
That is the rhetoric here.
I love the measures people pull out as well. It's like you get someone responding to you like, oh, well, if you look at this graph, you can actually see that severity of measures now aren't as bad as the severity of measures 12 months ago. And I think I responded to one of your tweets. It's like saying that they had to turn the ovens down because they ran out of coal. It's fucking absurd. Well,
there's also, it seems to pre, like, they have a graph of objective measure of severity of intrusion. They just have quantified it, guys.
Just tell me how hot the oven's going to be. That's all I need to know.
Jeremy Vine. Being unvaccinated should be socially acceptable, the same as drinking and driving. Occupy Democrats. Illinois introduces a bill to... Sorry, go on.
I said that no, he was a follower of Lou Rockwell.
Apparently. there's been a few people actually retweeting and posting the Rockwell report, and they got a huge amount of angry people in their replies being, don't you know this guy's a racist?
Don't you know that anarcho-capitalism has started in 1998 when Lou Rockwell drunk drove into the nearest Walmart?
fucking Lou Rockwell. Now I'm reminded of the 404 linked Tide Pod Eaters article is an unironic 2021 Democrats the real racist article.
Someone went on to tell me in the comments that it's like that's not actually what the article says. It's like I do not care.
I can't read the article because the links are 404.
Well, no, because if you open the article up anyway, it's $5 a month.
Ah.
So they're charging you so you can read it and be told that you're not a good enough racist.
Democrats are the real racists. No, you idiot, we are. Murdoch, Murdoch. Still funny. Also fell off horrendously after the whole Wondrous Choice thing. But anyway, I should probably read that other donation. Kids donated another $5 about 20 minutes ago. Basically making a... Well, I can't really read this. I think it's a 40K reference. I'm not even sure. He's talking about the Emperor of Mankind. Thank you for the $5, though.
That'll be 40K.
Yes, definitely. Sorry, Streamlabs is making that weirdly hard to read. Anyway. Thank you for the donation. Anyway, sorry, I can't really read your thing. It's popping up weirdly.
You had mentioned that it's weird. It's another one of those fantasies that the left has where some group has so much more influence and power than it actually ever has. And you see the riots, not riots necessarily, but the protests, the peaceful protests of anti-vaxxers, quote unquote, in all these different countries. And they achieve nothing. Not a thing. I am sick of people like hitting out like populist cult. I mean, the whole Gary Lineker thing about going on a big protest on the 18th of December, that is anyone that's part of a protest movement having the utter piss ripped out of them. There is nothing else to that.
Well, the day after vaccine passports were announced, I was in London just meeting people for a drink, and I actually had a bit of spare time and walked to Parliament, and there was about 60 protesters and probably about 30 police. And they were all just kind of milling around, looking embarrassed, not knowing quite what to do with the megaphone.
Well, my point is more that there could be a million folk.
Yeah.
There could be they could be the biggest rabble down there ever, but it's all pointless without some sort of direction towards something else. Or, you know, as we sort of touched on earlier on, you know, don't go down to Westminster and demand that they change it. Change it where you live. Yes, and then be ready for Westminster to show up. Fight them on your turf.
You saw the protest in Germany, didn't you? Literally the most German thing ever, where they were protesting and the German police came down there with sticks.
And 6 foot rulers, yes.
And started measuring people. There we go. Let's see if we can hold the sound. But yeah, the police wandering around with sticks pushing people apart. Of course, the police are standing in between that and therefore breaking.
Yeah, they are. They're actually invading their personal space to do this, which makes it sadder. But like, it's an act of like protest to humiliation. We're going to go around and make sure you're 6 feet apart with a stick.
Yeah. Still, I mean, I had a great response to that from someone.
If you point this out, this is ridiculous. You're going in the oven. That is the state of the debate.
It does make me want to carry around a 6 foot pole like Cartman and start pushing people out the way.
I just want to live in a normal world. I don't want to see people wearing masks. I'm sick of standing in the queue at Lidl while folk wash their hands before they go in. There's no need for it. There is absolutely no need for it whatsoever. And it has become, it's almost like some sort of dark comedy that people buy it all. You know, it's the humans are so insipid inside and so twisted that they just think, well, this is how I get my pocket money now. You know, I wash my hands when I'm told to, and I wear a mask and I take the jab. And if I don't get that, I don't get my doll. No Funko Pops, no next games, no pods to live in.
This is the new normal, though.
Thing is, when it's raining and people have hoods up, it makes everyone look like they're wearing a fucking peep scarf. They look like fucking letterboxes. There's another one here which is even more troubling. It's from the 8th of December. The Prime Minister says there has to be a national conversation about compulsory vaccination. And that we can't go on imposing restrictions to quote, just because a proportion of the population sadly has not been vaccinated. Which is a hint and a threat there.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I think they have already basically put the foot down that anyone who works in the NHS will basically be mandated to take the vaccine, I think, April or May next year.
Yes,
that's going to be hilarious.
It's not even April and May. They're going to start enforcing it in February.
They're doing it by sort of sectors, but I think the idea is that all staff that work for the NHS and frontline care, quote unquote, will be vaccinated by then.
They will start the process in February, and by April, they will all either be vaccinated or gone. Did you hear that they're apparently, it's both a UK and US thing, that these aren't redundancies because the job isn't technically being eliminated, they're just being fired?
Who was hitting out with that one? Was that Sajid Javid or Dominic?
Yes.
Dominic Raab or whoever had come up with this formula for saving employment, is that you invite an infinite number of brown people into your country and then you replace people who you tell can't get a job because of not had a vaccine. You just replace them with somebody who's just had a vaccine off the bloody Brighton Pier because they've just been brought in a dinghy.
Again, we're getting into democratization territory here, but it's a point you made in your server today, Trig, about basically once you get to a population of a certain size within a single system, like power at the low level becomes homeopathic. Like democracy is homeopathic power. You are one of 70 million voices who all have an equal say in decision making, and you know you are taking what is essentially, you know, water that may have been near another bottle that had some like mercury or a rose petal in it, and that is your equivalent power. It is so diluted, it is no longer detectable.
Yes, and it's also the people that should have power, the people that are actually worth listening to, get drowned out in the melee of general sort of nonsense. And, wow, what about my extra £10 for thingy a week? I want to vote for this people because they said they'd give me, you know.
We're too busy solving managerial problems.
Yeah.
I mean, there was an idea I'd considered. I don't know if maybe it's something we want to do a stream on at some point, or I don't know, I might have a crack at writing it. But the sort of anarcho-tyranny framework from Francis.
Yes.
Think of it not as solving crime, but trying to solve public health issues. And so, you know, the great public health leaders must reach their ultimate goal, which is vaccinating however many tens of millions of people. So what you do is you just bring thousands across the shore from Paris and wherever else in France every day, and you vaccinate them on the shore, and then you add them to the numbers, and then flood the country full of immigrants that don't want to be here and hate us all, and cause abject chaos because we need that one number fixed.
Yes, it's about the hyper focus on the single centralized goal, the detriment to all else. Sometimes on purpose, but often like. The tragedy of that model is that quite often they just don't care and they don't know, and they are so insulated from reality that they really don't know the chaos that will be caused. Or at least some of them do, the bureaucrats. British Knight has apparently been a member for 7 months. That's when you get the sad cat. Good lord. Another sad cat haver, the exclusive sad cat club. He's put his membership message. The Galactic Economic Forum says that you will live in a hive world, you will meet with Eldor and Orcs, and your emperor will die and you will be happy. More 40k references. Another member. Inconvenient One has become a hat tipper. Thank you very much. All the shekels today. I'm just looking through. There's so much stuff here. I would say that the rhetoric against the unvaccinated is different. Like, there's a different category here. There's a rhetoric against them, and there's the actual measures against them as well. Mm. Where are we here? Italy's police are now patrolling restaurants and bars to enforce new code regulations, barring the vaccinated from all public spaces. Austria's fourth lockdown will end on December 12th. The lockdown for the vaccinated will continue indefinitely. They will not be allowed in all quote-unquote non-essential shops, as well as gastronomic, that's restaurants, sporting and cultural venues. So basically, you can go to the grocery store. No museums for you, Refusnik. Slovakia has a lockdown for the unvaccinated. Austria introduces fines of up to 3,600 euros for being unvaccinated. We have reached the point we all said that we'd reach, where vaccination in certain European nations, and soon ubiquitously, will become mandatory. It will become requirement of, quote unquote, living in a civil society. People who want to live in civil society will be vaccinated, and that will be a hard rule.
Well, there are certain things that slightly, I don't know, as maybe we sort of begin to round off a bit more, there are things in the more distant horizon that I'm beginning to think about a bit more. I mean, one of the things I tagged you in earlier on in the week on Twitter about, you know, Schmidt, when he makes the point about starting war and declaring the exception, just as important as that is declaring peace and declaring what isn't the exception. And I think we might need to start to watch out, maybe not straight away, and it'll probably be very slow, but them trying to angle their way out of it. And part of that is saying that, well, for you, those who keep up with the 90 million vaccines that you need, the pandemic is over for you, as far as they're concerned. And that will, it is that move that will become so much more insidious than just the original declaration of, you know, you're an anti-vaxxer, you're keeping it going. You will begin to see, as you're talking about in policy, people who have complied will be gifted for their compliance. And for that, they will be given back the freedoms that we've all had taken off us.
Essentially, they're doing the social credit thing backwards.
Yes.
What they're doing is that they're imposing the consequences first and then bringing in the credit system later.
It's the same way they do MMT, though. You know, you've all got to be enslaved and lost in a battle first before you can pay taxes in our new currency we're going to force on you.
Yes, it is. It's the idea that, you know, we have always paid income tax in this country, even though it's an invention of the 19th century. It's the idea that, you know, we have always had this idea of, you know, mass democratic government, even though it's an invention of the 20th century.
Worn face masks. We've always taken boosters every 6 months.
Well, it's you've pointed out, Trig, and it's one of the things that I get people with most often in the normie sphere is pre 9/11 flights and their the portrayal of like the 90s and the 80s in certain films, because certain films will have the TSA in a when the film's set in the 80s and 90s, they will have like the shoe checks. And it's one of the most like gaslighty things that you can point out. This idea that we have always lived in a post 9/11 world, and that before all that, before all the flight restrictions, before like it's like life has become an ever expanding airport, and what people would accept in airports has become like the bar for what people will be put through semi voluntarily.
That was what I was trying to get at earlier on. It is that pattern that repeats over and over and over again. Some crisis is manufactured in front of us, and then the government swoops in and says, don't worry, we're going to save you. And, oh, by the way, don't think of saving yourself, because saving yourself would allow you to have some element of power or autonomy or even maybe privacy still.
I feel kind of bad, because I think I actually kind of broke someone at work with that. So I was like, you're still taking your shoes off getting an airplane. You're never taking that mask off. And like, they came in a couple of days later and they're like, I think you're right. I don't think we're going to go back to normal. And they've looked a little shell-shocked since, and I feel a bit bad.
Well, I think I've kind of mentioned to you how someone in my family has dealt with working directly inside the NHS. They have got to the point now where they've essentially admitted on the phone that I have, for the most part, been entirely correct, and that every single person who is supposed to be working for their department, I think it's anywhere from 20, and the safe number, mind you, is a minimum of 12. There is currently three full-time people and one part-time, because everyone's ill. Everyone's been shielding for 6 to 8 months, they come back, they take the vaccine, it ruins their immune system, and they go back to shielding for another 4 months, and then they come back and think, oh, well, I'll take the next vaccine. And there's people who essentially haven't worked on location for well over a year and a half.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is it. You shield some yourself for a year, or stay inside. Your immune system is through the is absolutely toileted. But I mean, I had the COVID not long ago. It was a mild to nasty flu. God knows what it wouldn't surprise me if it was a cold or a flu, to be perfectly honest. And by the way, I just stuck the there's a great scene in Airplane 2 where they're walking through the security. I just stuck that up as well. You were talking.
Well, they just
oh god, not an advert. Go right, yeah. Sorry.
apparently, Trig, that's put. We've got a copyright notice on the stream now because of that.
Crap! You're kidding me. That's already really. That's already on.
Yeah.
That's a YouTube video. That was a clip from a YouTube video.
Yeah, they're saying they've detected copyrighted content on our stream, and it may have been temporarily muted. If people can hear it, can you still hear us, guys? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Apparently, we this will be copyright claimed now. They've done that in real time.
Oofed.
Damn. Damn.
Yeah, no, that's true. Actually, EA had a couple of stinkers the other week from trying to do deep lore stuff.
Clearly.
We just got a notification on the back end saying it's not been muted, it looks like, but we just got one saying maybe muted, so.
It's probably flagged the video, I think, in a manual review, that'd probably be alright.
Yeah.
However, that means they'll listen to what we've said. Fog.
Damn.
your stream may be temporarily blocked, it said.
No.
The solution to that, I think, sometimes is just to save the recording and re-upload it if you can.
Yeah.
All right, that's annoying.
That is a... That's a YouTube video. That's a clip off YouTube. That is.
Yeah, but it's also a clip from Airplane 2, so...
Yeah.
Well, that's annoying. We might have to deal with that on the back end, but...
Yeah,
we might want to round off in a few minutes then before we get disabled or something.
Mm-hmm.
That's very annoying. Right.
I don't know. I think we've at least touched on one of the major things, though. The use of the vaccine unvaccinated dynamic to force in essentially wide scale digital IDs that have much greater effects written into what they are supposed to do.
The final thing that we should talk about in some slight detail that you mentioned earlier, I wanted to end on this, is the COVID passport stuff.
Mm.
No, sorry, not the COVID, the climate passport stuff from the COVID passport stuff.
Mm.
It's a very obvious straight line trajectory. Because you've made some flippant predictions, but I think they're quite salient. Well, what do you think that the green eco... carbon passport is going to look like? What shape will they take?
Well, it doesn't really matter. It's going to be the same thing on your phone that you've used for track and trace for the last year and a bit. You probably find you won't even need to download it. It'll just be there when you buy your next phone. Because it'll be a legal requirement for all electronic devices to be connected to some form of smart system, which we're getting there with your home boiler. You know, you now can't not have the government track the amount of power you use on a new boiler that gets installed. So it's all going to be connected via the 5G smart grid nonsense, and you will be tracked at every waking moment, and they'll probably even track how much CO2 you breathe out or something, charge you for that too.
You know, I've said it before, but I'll say it again. You know, if you want the internet on a handheld device, etc., get a tablet. Take it off 4G, 5G, just get a normal Wi-Fi tablet, then get yourself an old-style dumb phone, and if the government wants let them buy me a smartphone. And you know what? It will not get charged. It's the way. They can't make you charge it at your own expense.
Yes, you wait.
They can try, and you go, oh, I'm terribly sorry, it seems to have run out of battery. I was using LinkedIn earlier, and it seems to have killed my battery.
These things don't run out, though. The tracking remains operational for sometimes months at a time with a flat battery.
Yeah, that's why you. That's why it sits at home in a sealed box. We've had a few chats we want to deal before, but go on. Sorry.
You want the real issue is the fact that as you start to move into, I mean, this is real Alex Jones endgame level nonsense, but as you move into 6G, you're talking about bandwidths that you can transfer power with in a short range.
Yes.
Can imagine what they'll do with that. How many devices in your home they'll just sit there and run and charge you for. They'll know every single thing you've been up to. And it's just... When it comes back to the passports, I am prepared to basically watch everyone, not everyone, but a lot of the people who talk about being against them totally comply with it. And it'll be the same when there becomes a rollout of climate mandates and however else they want to frame it. People are just going to give up.
They will comply
as they always have.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I've long since thought, you know, the chipping of pets and so on. So, I've microchipped my pet, so if my pet goes missing, they can find it. That is total psyop for, we're going to chip your child now.
Mm. You can't legally have non-microchipped pets.
I know.
It's just, I'm seeing people in the chat being like, they already know where you live, leave it at home and they gain no new info. Well, right, without your phone, you're never getting on the bus. You're not paying for stuff at shops.
You're not going to have cash.
You
can be stopped by a policeman and told that you're not carrying your phone and that's illegal.
Yeah, you're not tracking your carbon. You're a climate terrorist.
Yes.
Yes, I am. I
mean,
sorry.
Yeah,
I have some bad news for you, Trigg.
Another line. Yeah, sorry. Pardon what?
Trigg. Uh-huh. All of Britain's 2G and 3G networks will be shuttered by the end of 2033.
Yeah, huh?
And that's going to make mobile reception in the countryside impossible. There's going to have to be 5G towers every 10 meters.
Or they'll just move you towards the 5G towers. Oh, I mean, that's just as easy.
But they want to push everyone into the cities. They want the countryside clear so that they don't have the riffraff out there whilst they're playing golf.
Well, the whole thing is that lower wavelengths are much easier to pick up over longer distances. That's why radio works so well.
Mm.
Now we have
ironically had... shortwave radio isn't actually that shortwave. it's just shorter wave than long wave is, which is massive, and you can hear that on large parts of the earth because you can have there's only a couple of transmitters for long wave in the UK because it's that transmissible, but it's quite low energy. And the FM radio is frequency modulated. It's much higher frequency. That's why it's got such a shorter range. And the same is true for all of these new mobile technologies. They're higher frequency, but they're much shorter range and much less reliable.
I even tweeted that thing out earlier on. I think that was last week. Sorry. It was a study right out of the NIH about the effects of high density 5G radiation on different types of human tissue. And it seems as if it makes you sterile and have an adverse reaction to previous respiratory conditions, which is very interesting.
It's crazy. They'd done a lot of research on this in Soviet Russia back in the 50s and 60s. They'd done a huge amount of research on EM radiation, and which is why I think we're talking back in the 90s now. When mobile phones, just standard mobile phones, early days mobile phones were coming out, they were being banned in Russia because they didn't meet their safety compliance regulations, and the Russians were concerned that these things would be damaging. That obviously all changed because of pressure and financial pressure from various other people. And the data's in, no one's developed microtumors, so lol, Russian. Research was nonsense.
I think they got round that because I believe when you buy any modern smartphone, and you can normally find it somewhere in the settings about RF radiation exposure. It basically says the fact if you happen to develop brain tumors from using this phone too much, you can't blame us.
Yeah.
there are disclaimers like that, but it's something, again, it's something that's seen as like pure quackery when you talk about the effect of ion radiation on the human body. But it's you're starting to talk about energy levels that can transmit power, like real power. You know, you have phones that can wirelessly charge each other. This does things to human tissues. I don't understand why saying that is seen as like flat Earth territory.
Well, because it's if people were to accept the fact that both long wave, short wave, and dense sort of clandestine phone radio waves had an effect on them, as do Wi-Fi outputters, routers, and phones and laptops. Yeah, they would have to then maybe think for a moment that they're just currently swimming in a field of like literal information, and whether or not that has some sort of effect on them or not.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's something that is a verboten area of study, like a lot of evolutionary psychology stuff, like a lot of the genetic stuff, like a lot of the sociological aspects, a lot of political stuff. There's just areas that we cannot talk about, like the vaccine. Like, you know, it's seen as this area of like this no-go. It's so far outside of the current Overton window, and there's just it's very much of it. And you, as soon as you step outside of it, you realize how narrow the current debate is. How many people will, you know, wave a banner about COVID, but as soon as you mention something like, you know, EM radiation, or like, you know, the thing that came out this week about like actually gaslighting kids in schools and these LGBT clubs. Like, as soon as you mention that kind of stuff, they recoil and call you a conspiracy theorist, because they've only seen outside of their very particular corner. I can't remember what the name of that phenomenon is. It's someone who recognizes the flaws in their own field of study, but doesn't extrapolate that to all other fields of study.
I understand. It's people who can't think methodologically.
No. It's also people who cannot trust their own logical deductions and set.
Yeah, senses. someone's got it. It's Gell-Mann something hypothesis.
Yeah. The Gell-Mann uneasy. Gell-Mann uneasy effect.
That's right. Yeah, before we go, I know we've had at least two more super chats that we should probably.
I'm looking right now.
Yeah, I suppose we can stop them and then.
One. It was James Fedpost posted one.
Yeah. Oh, right. Okay.
And he said, through mostly peaceful anti-structural disobedience to push back against the boots, about how to fight back. I'm not sure how mostly you mean there, but I kind of get the inference.
Tell you what they can't stop you doing yet, and that is getting chicken wire and sticking it under the wallpaper in your house and wiring that to the earth on your electricity mains, and basically Faraday caging your house. All your mobile phones, etc., will cease to work. Good. No radio signals will get in and out, and no one can stop you decorating your house how you want. Yet.
I too have seen Enemy of the State.
I'm serious. We are at that level though at this point.
Hmm. Well, there's the problem with that is that. To round out a final slightly black pill point is that you have people on Facebook. It was a bit of a misleading post, but there are literally posts of like de-radicalization stuff. It's like, do you know someone who is becoming too prepared?
Uh-huh. Do you know someone who is becoming aware and can identify patterns?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you know someone who is, you know, hoarding food? Do you know someone who is, you know, overly interested in self-defense? These are actual things that get sent to people. Mm-hmm. You know, do you know someone who's viewing material online that may be seen as extremist? It's people on Facebook are bombarded with these notices if they have anyone in their circle who's viewing this material in any way, or even if this material has been sent onto their feed, they'll be sent these de-radicalization notices. And this has been a push from the US government, actually. This is actually something, strangely enough, that Facebook resisted, at least on the surface level they did. And that is the level that we're at, where if you start going, well, I'm just going to do this, I'm just, you know, I'm going to become an agorist, basically, you get Waco'd. Like, there's the image I made the other day, which we can probably finish on, if I can find that, if it will run. I've got the video version too. I think I made like a video version of it as well, but I don't think it actually took. But it's there we go. It's the You can just go live in the woods. Yeah.
It's not where they're gonna shoot your like pregnant wife and your dog and your son and eventually yourself or anything like that.
Yeah.
They wouldn't do anything like that. They're benevolent.
Yeah. Before we go, I saw something awful on Facebook the other day. It was posted, unfortunately, by a member of my family, and I'm going to have to go and re-at them at some point in the not-too-distant future. Hold on, it's not centered.
There you go.
Yeah.
Just go live in the woods, bro.
Yeah, no, This Facebook post got sent to me, and it's a copy paste. And it was like, I'm fully vaccinated and boosted. No, I don't know what's in it. Neither this vaccine nor the ones I had as a child. Nor do I know the secret ingredients in KFC. I also know exactly what's in ibuprofen or Tylenol. They just cure my headaches and pains. I don't know what's in tattoo ink, Botox and fillers, or every ingredient in my soap or shampoo. I don't know what the long-term effects of mobile phone use and whether it's...
Trey, that image is upsetting me. Please make it more centered and larger.
Yeah,
you can report it as a source, Trey. Please.
Hold on.
Real bad drug. That also, that person saying that I'm going to die of anaphylactic shock at some point. Is what that person's saying.
Yeah, the thing is, it's crazy. I do know what's in Botox. I know what's in soap. I know the secret ingredients in KFC are. And I'm not taking the fucking vaccine because it takes 10 years to approve a vaccine, not a year and a half or 6 months in actual fact.
No, you're not taking it because you've got enough autism already, Trig. It's safe to admit.
I may have. No,
yeah, I
never proved.
I can. Yes, like I consume petrochemical products and also inject myself with pig botulism. I am very smart.
It's like having dolmio sauce in your ciabatta and calling it like dining.
It was cancer, and I'm gonna have to track down that person and go, look, this is the most idiotic thing you've ever said, and that's saying something from that particular person. But anyway, I'm gonna have to find a way of doing that post a different way.
It's like I've been pumped full of fucking silicates and carcinogens by massive companies my entire life, and I'm not aware of it, and I'm not willing to be angry about it. It's like, no, you don't know what's in all these.
Literally,
like, you don't know what's in all these things.
Yeah,
like it's like the whole Johnson and Johnson, like literally killing children with like toxic talcum powder, and then just going, "Lol, what are you gonna do? Sue one of the largest companies in the world?"
Yeah,
how do you think that's an own?
My army of lawyers say no. Your little tiny lawyer at 50 quid an hour ain't gonna do shit. Although 50 quid an hour is a joke, 500 more likely.
Why would you be willing to like defend the inedible and toxic contents of modern products?
Because it's where you draw your meaning from.
Yeah.
It's like I'm you know, bought a lot of the quote unquote health and organic and all that products are even worse because they're aimed at like soy people, and they're literal pig feed.
Oh, but... let's not get into the bug, man. It's all getting too gloomy.
Bugman. No. Anyway, we should probably go before it gets to Bugman and here you are, right? Is there anything else you want to shill? Anything you've remembered?
I don't know. I'm sure we'll have more streams and stuff. I think next thing I'll be doing is going over some Kaczynski with Academic Agent next Wednesday.
I would also like to say, rest in peace, my buddy Uzulu, whose YouTube channel got yeeted, finally.
Yes, I will once again admonish the members of Le Ibn Skibdik community, because none of them has mentioned this. And if you get into a disagreement with any of these content creators and you get unpersoned, it doesn't matter how good you are, it doesn't matter how much of a history they have with you, they just don't care. And they won't advertise the fact that you've been crushed by the boot because you offended their little social circle.
Oh, but
and
you,
I find
well,
that incredibly depressing.
You're a radical racist communist and cap Nazi.
Yeah,
well,
you know,
I mean, I've got a lot of time for Uzlu. Uzlu's one of the few people on YouTube like us up that is literally, you know, I believe in freedom of speech and I'm prepared to stand on that and die on that.
Even if he's sometimes a bit retarded about it, he's at least someone who's been consistent. And like, kudos to him. He's been banned because he wouldn't shut up about the 2020 election, which is a far more based position than any of those people have adopted.
I sincerely hope he hasn't sat there the whole time being like, well, this just isn't democracy. They'll have to do better. Because if he's been doing that for the last 6 months, he's a dafty.
No. Uzla's a good lad. I've got a lot of time for him. And
he'll come around. He'll get there.
As long as he's not performing a rear guard action for democracy, that's okay by me.
But anyway, yeah, I think it's a bit. A lot of people have been left out to dry by the machine at the moment, and because they didn't have the correct specific liberal, in quotes, beliefs that the faces of the online fight back think they should have, they just don't get any assistance.
Mm.
You know, people with large platforms will not amplify dissident voices if they think that they are a little bit too wacky or they don't completely toe the line. And I think that's a very serious indictment of those people. It makes me ever more just disgusted by the behavior of people who essentially leech off the image of being dissidents whilst risking precisely nothing. Have a good night. Have a good night.
And on that, so bid you all a good night. And are we doing one next week? Next week will be a little close to, will it be Christmas Day?
That'll be the 23rd, and I'll either be traveling that day or the day before.
Right.
So I'm probably going to be far too busy on the 23rd. I was thinking actually that we could record something quickly, maybe, and premiere it then.
We could do. We'd probably need to do that Monday, Tuesday next.
Yeah,
week.
I'm available. I was thinking we could actually record something quickly. What was it you said earlier? We mentioned something that we need to do something on, and I can't remember.
Oh,
what it was.
That's the WikiLeaks dump.
Well, the WikiLeaks dump. If you can read stuff on that by then, maybe we could do that after. But I was thinking,
God,
if we can,
there's 30 gigs of Assange.
If we can't get that set up by then, I was thinking we could record something about the MP code of conduct, something a bit shorter.
Yes, I would prefer that, to be honest, because we can grab some Schmidt stuff, and that would be quite handy. Because the WikiLeaks stuff is good and all, but it's showing stuff people have already seen before.
Anyway, we will be back next week or something. Yes. We are still live. I didn't actually take us off stream there. I forgot. I didn't forget. I didn't think we'd ended it properly. Is there anything you guys... I said earlier, but we got distracted. Is there anything you guys want to show before I turn the stream off? So,
I don't think so at this point.
Nope. Follow Substack stuff and Twitter.
Yes,
and...
the links are in the description.
Yeah.
Anyway,
sorry, if I don't see anyone before Christmas, good, happy Christmas.
I just wanted to say thank you for everyone who's donated and joined the channel. I know we have a lot of long-running members. Again, thank you for that. I will try and do something for the members at some point. I'm so short on time. Thank you for doing that, even though there has been basically no reward apart from the regular content. I've been quite bad with that, and I'm hoping to build it up to something later, but it's, like I said, we're just very, very busy. But thank you, guys, and we'll see you probably after Christmas, at least live anyway. You'll hopefully see something premiered next week. Cool. There we go, stream's off.